Blog Talk Radio.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. I'm your host, Charles Williams, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Jalavette, on Wheels of Steel. Say hello, Jalavette.
Hello, Jalavette.
All right. That's good. Tonight, we are featuring again the Dr. Amos Wilson's The Falsification of African Consciousness, subtitled Eurocentric History, Psychiatry, and the Politics of White Supremacy. Tonight, we're beginning part two of the lecture series, of this particular lecture series, and it is titled Eurocentric Political Dogmatism, Relationship to the Mental Health Diagnosis of African People.
All right.
Y'all enjoyed that wonderful introduction?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
That was Ben Harper. Brother Amin is on the line.
Oh, Brother Amin.
What's up? Hello.
Hello. What up?
What's up?
Good evening.
Yeah, we're on page 65.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have your text out?
Of course we do.
Yes, yes. I know y'all have just run out and got yourselves a copy at your local African bookstore. Or, online, any of the outlets online.
Don't judge me.
Well, I'm not, because you have a copy. Actually, I have judged you. That's right. You are just righteous.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. And here we go. We're on page 65. It says, a major departure of black psychology from Eurocentric psychology or white psychology is that black psychology is openly and consciously political and recognizes the very basis for what we might call mental problems, other kinds of problems in the black community. It is the political structure, the Eurocentric structure, that is present in America and present in the world. Eurocentric psychology, while offering us some information of value, is somewhat limited in the fact that it generally starts from the standpoint of the so-called family as the cause of mental illness, juvenile delinquency, educational problems, and so forth. It examines the mother-child relationship as the basis for the personality orientation of the patient. We must recognize, as African people, that this approach is inadequate, primarily because it appears to be relatively non-political. Introductory section to this part, and this the next. We will enter his discourse on political economic necessity of madness. Dr. Wilson's gonna, he already did it, but we're gonna cover it. Explain how the our madness is necessary for the political, the economic viability of the white supremacy power structure.
Absolutely.
So they have no interest in helping you feel yourself to be the best you can be. Is the best you can be from their point of view is the craziest person you can be. Keep maintaining their strength, their power, and their glory.
Well, if you look at what's going on and constantly, even just going to the, voting booths every 2, 3, 4 years, whatever, that's insanity.
Right.
That's insanity, thinking that, these two parties, one of the two, better of the two evils, actually have your best interest at heart. There's so many things that we do. I can just go on and on.
Yes.
It's insane. You're right. And, that it's absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary that we fight about two sides of the same, coin in most discussions that mean nothing, that we accomplish nothing, and that is imperative for this machine to continue.
Right, because I think when I was reading about the abolition societies in some of the northern cities, and I think I remember correctly, they were discussing how they had no voting power. That community was so strong that the city officials used to have to address their needs because they had economic strength.
Right.
And they bonded together and they levied that power to their benefit. That's something, even though we have voting rights now, but we have no power. Because we don't function together to our advantage. We function as a unit in support of white supremacy. For example, the Democratic Party has successfully sealed up the African American voting. So they don't, normally you would think they would just have to, appease us, give us something that we want just in exchange for our loyalty. But it's gotten so bad that we give it to them automatically. The African American community believes that it's their job, it's their duty to vote Democratic Party ticket. Democratic Party usually appoints, at least gives black people a lot of face, let them run for election, give them a little donation money. You know, they hand out little jobs, hand it, no sign. They basically throw them little crumbs, basically.
Right.
So black people get crumbs from the Democratic DNC. But they say, hey, the DNC kicking those crumbs. Well, that may make a few people feel good. There's nothing for our overall condition, and it's not good enough.
Right.
And the problem, and we keep allowing these secret society types who they're getting their crumbs off the table, basically a payoff, a bribe,
mm-hmm.
and they with their little trickle down economic theory, making us feel like we should support these people when that's not going to help us get to where we need to be in order to thrive and survive. So, you know, that political economic structure that we have. We're going to have to abandon it. I mean, although we're going to let the black bourgeoisie continue to lead the other ignorant, you know, groups of, you know, masses of people where they want to follow. But that doesn't mean we should follow suit as well.
That's right.
So you're all for Romney then? That's what you're saying?
Basically. Romney 2012.
That's always the response when you say something about Democrats. Oh, so you're for Romney, huh?
Yeah, you must be for the other guy, right?
For the other guy. Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that.
Plus, want him to win.
No, really, I'm writing your name in. That's what I'm going for. You.
Yeah, but you know, that's the problem. Our people can't think outside of the political economic structure that the old Mr. Charlie has provided. And they believe that is the only choice that is available. That you must choose these two.
Who is this Charlie fellow you're always speaking of? Can we get him on the show?
You can see him anytime you want to. You just go, whenever you go to the store, and you see someone of European descent, that's Mr. Charlie.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
But he's Mr. Charlie. But that's how it is.
You know, we should raise Hamas in the ballot and then see what happens. They voted Hamas in. Wouldn't that be funny?
The interesting part, but they don't really count the ballots anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's
really funny. It doesn't matter.
Your vote doesn't count, really.
Don't say that too loud.
Yeah, there's a drone outside.
Could you just say that a little lower?
Hey. So we'll begin this section on political economic necessity of madness, page 65. While mental problems, juvenile delinquency, and other problems may flow from family relations, we must recognize that relations existing within a family structure are themselves shaped by the political situation in which they are embedded. The relationship between the black mother and child, the black father and child, the politics that go on within the black family structure, the politics of color, the politics of quality of hair, politics of sexuality, and so forth exist within the black family. To a very great extent, the politics of the larger white-dominated society in which the black community finds itself. If an effort is made to get the roots of mental problems and other kinds of problems that exist within the African American individual and community, it must begin with an analysis of the political context in which they coexist. It must start with a recognition of the fact that juvenile delinquency, criminality, mental problems, other kinds of problems which are prevalent in our community are social necessities, are political necessities. We have stated before that in order for us as a people to be in the situation we are in and not be in concentration camps and not have guns pointed at our heads throughout the day, we must be maintained in a particular state of mind. In a sense, then, we literally must be out of our minds, and we must be kept out of our minds. For mental maladaptiveness among our people is a political necessity and social necessity, and therefore is instigated by political, social forces, and a black psychology must begin with this very fact. The political necessity is in part based on the demographic that the European is approximately 10% of the world's population. The European inhabits only a small part of this globe. The parts of the globe that the European occupies are relatively resourceless when compared to those occupied by non-European people. And yet, the European is saddled with great wealth, economic and political power. He controls the globe and maintains the world in a state of terror and has the earth now on the brink of suicide. We must question, how is it that a minority people, a very small percentage of mankind, a people who are essentially resourceless in terms of their natural resources, maintain the power they have? Why is it that people whose lands contain the wealth of the earth are the poorest people? Why is it that the wealth? Why is it that Africa, with some 20 to 30 strategic metals that make the space age possible, why is it that the image of Africa is projected at us time and time again as that of starving children, as societies in disorder, as societies on the verge of disaster? This implies, to my mind, that there must exist a political, social situation wherein the mental orientation of our people must be so structured that the power and the ability of the Europeans to rule this earth are continually maintained. To a good extent, people are kept out of their minds by means of contradictions and conflicts, where the mind is faced with what appears to be unresolvable problems and dilemmas, and seeks to often escape those contradictions either through the creation of illness, misbehavior, or through grabbing on to one of the horns of the dilemma, extreme conformity, or through extreme rebellion, all of which are designed ultimately to maintain the status quo. For the European to rule the world as he does today, or at least to intimidate it as he does, contradictions must be a chronic part of the lives of the non-European people, as well as that of the European. Imperialistic European must essentially function in a very devilish fashion. That is, in a fashion that uses deception as its major characteristic. Consequently, fundamental values and ways of seeing reality must be reversed. The good must appear to be the bad, the light dark. Truth must be taken for the lie for the truth. Otherwise, a small group, such as European people, could not continue to keep the rest of the world out of its mind. The European hegemonic establishment must project false and injurious ideologies that are accepted by its victims. It must project self-serving ideologies that are seen as givens, as natural. It must project fraudulent ideologies that are seen as not subject to question. When the victims of European imperialistic domination accept its ideologies uncritically, they then accept the rulership and dominance of the imperialistic European. They then begin to identify with the very group that is responsible for their problems. The end of that part. But I have anything to say about the way the European disorientates the minds of non-Europeans in order to maintain control, power, and the future, basically.
Well, we see it all the time when we are, I guess, you know, let me just preface all this by saying that perhaps Facebook is not the best place to therapize ourselves as a community. However, we do, I guess, it does foster an environment where we tend to have a form of therapy amongst ourselves, and it invariably happens where Caucasians will feel completely comfortable coming in and disorienting the direction of the conversation as if we aren't fully capable of doing that ourselves. And especially I find it most disturbing when it seems as though the conversation is lending itself toward some type of breakthrough or resolution for us. They will just sniff out these types of conversations and will just just, you know, interject their own mandates. They'll just say, you know, you shouldn't think this way. You are a racist. You're not accomplishing anything by having this conversation, and so on and so on and so forth. And I believe, in a calculated attempt to derail anything that could possibly be benefited by, you know, the people involved of color.
Yeah, as psych warfare.
Right. 101.
Right, they're coming into it's called disinformation.
Right.
And, what's the other word for that? What don't they do?
A PSYOP? I don't know what.
Change agents, yeah.
Change agents, yeah.
And they move in to, matter of fact, what I'm going to really need to go ahead and put it out there is that they're always observing our dialogue, all right, among our conversations.
Of course.
On a forum like Facebook, if it's not a group, it's about a page. That's why it's good for, I would say, groups to have their own pages, to have a group where it is, you really do all your talking in the group.
Right, certain things are discussed privately, correct. Private as it can be.
Right, I mean, like say, we're on some of our pages and we're talking. I don't really like to go into nothing too heavy on a page.
Right.
It's no need. You know, when those Europeans come in there with their disinformation, you just delete and block them and get on out of there.
Right.
Don't even entertain it. Or you got a Afro-Pian coming in there, do the same thing.
Mm.
Don't even engage them. You exercise your power. You got the power of the button. Use it. You know?
Yep.
Don't engage in, because most of the people observing can't handle the discourse. They can't follow. You know, the arguments, and they become disoriented, and they're just going to defer to the white person. Just say, hey, when they're in confusion, go white. White is always right.
Right.
And that's in their program.
What were you saying to me?
Amos Wilson says the same thing. He says that they not only they guide the argument. They not only
mm-hmm.
guide the answer to arguments, they guide what the theme of the argument is.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you'll see they'll change the subject,
and
altogether, and before you know it, it's a completely different subject.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody's standing there arguing about something else, and you go, "Wow, it doesn't even start out as being a question." You know, and now the whole question has changed to something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Neela Fuller always says that the European is smarter than the black people on average.
Oh yeah, oh for sure.
I mean, black people get mad.
Oh yeah.
No, they're not smarter. So how they whooping your ass then? You know, up and running your ass up and down the court if they're not smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
because literally,
like me,
what you were talking about, what you were talking about earlier, white supremacy is almost impossible. This is an amazing thing that's going on here. It's not even possible. There's not even enough of them on the planet to continue to do what they're doing. So they have to be smarter.
Right. They had to be smarter just to even approach our ancestors with this game and defeat us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even they say, "Oh, well, they lied to us about this." That doesn't. I don't care what they said. Our ancestors believed it. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What they told us. We believed it. We were fools. That's it. I mean, you don't hear all these, you know, you go to these, you know, super pro black authors page and just going to put it out there. Neela Fuller says that, but they don't want to hear him. You know, because Neela Fuller said it like it is. Yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah, we had all this and we lost it. We ain't got it no more because we got swindled out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That means we're stupid.
The end.
The end. That's it. Now we got to figure out work on this resurrection thing. They done killed us. They've killed us. So, I mean, you know, I mean, so that's the real hard truth. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to face. And since they don't want to face it, they're going to stay in this, you know, American dreamland or whatever. Go and dream and fantasize about, you know, living in Egypt in the 4th century B.C., you know, well, I say the 4th century B.C., because 100 years later, white folks take over Egypt. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people know when Egypt fell. and it has never been reconquered.
No,
don't know
nobody
that.
Ever brings that up.
Never comes up.
They just avoid it.
That's total avoidance.
I think it's a little early in the broadcast for all the negativity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Erase the hate.
Erase the hate.
Okay. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. So, you know, we got to stay keeping the focus that they got their game tight. They know how to direct the argument. They know how to direct the conclusion. And we need to have better sense then to engage them. And, you know what I mean? And if you do, you say something, you get the hell out of there. Stick and run. You know what I'm saying? Hit it and quit it. Don't be trying to go toe-to-toe with one of them, because at the end of the day, it's their computer, it's their network. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna say I never did it before. I just learned.
And they don't have to change anything. If they change nothing, they're still happy. We're
exactly.
The only ones that have to change anything.
Right. That's right. So, this was his next section. He has individualism and self-blame. It's a bit, yeah, we'll go ahead and tackle that. We're on page 67. We're in the lecture, we're in part two of the lecture series, Eurocentric Political Dogmatism, under the part on individualism and self-blame. Here we go. One of the ideologies projected to maintain European dominance is the ideology of individualism. We hear a great deal today of do your own thing, I do my kind of situation. The so-called individualization of success and failure. That is where individual failure is seen as the result of what we call personal ineptness or misbehavior as a sign of moral inferiority. That is, those people, individuals who fail in society, fail as a result of problems within themselves, some individual shortcoming or ineptness, ultimately failing as a result of some moral problem within their personalities. William Graham Sumner, a pioneering and influential American sociologist, stated that the poor are shiftless and impudent. They are negligent, impractical, and inefficient, that they are the idle and the untemperate, the extravagant and the vicious. Even those people who funded social work and the so-called helping professions who saw themselves as liberals often saw the behavior and the failure of the victims of Eurocentric domination as a result of their personal misbehavior or the result of their moral weakness. We call this kind of approach the individual moral sensibility, which is used to justify the culture of inequality. That is, this individualism, this individual moral sensibility, tries to persuade us that this society is equal and that this society makes available to all individuals equal the opportunities to advance in it. If they fail, it is the result of their own personal problems. Of course, it becomes obvious that this kind of approach is a rationale and a rationalization by means of which the society itself ignores its own input as far as the failure of a person or people, such as our people, are concerned. It helps us to ignore the impact of the social structure upon individual achievement and mobility. It tends almost literally to try to eradicate the idea that the individual succeeds or fails within a social structure. Since the individual does not succeed or fail in a vacuum, but succeeds or fails in a social system, the social system must be taken into consideration when we evaluate individual success and failure. This implies the possibility that the social structure itself may be principally responsible for the success of some and the failure of others. However, a society developed by the imperialistic European who arrogates to himself dominance and rule over the vast majority of people cannot afford to truthfully and honestly possibility that it is the structure of the Eurocentric society itself which greatly influences the individual and group faith of our people. While many of our liberal friends may not see the so-called success or failure or the condition of our people as the result of a moral problem, they will possibly argue that the poor are no more morally decrepit than are the middle class. They still tend to maintain a social status quo in a modified form by projecting a kind of scientific ideology, one with that appears at first to be neutral in its orientation. This ideology speaks of such apparently neutral things such as the psychodynamic makeup of the individual. It speaks of weak egos, the lack of personal integration, conflicts between the id, ego, and superego, the dark side of the personality overtaking the light side of the personality. All kinds of systems, names, and intra-psychic mechanisms are invoked to explain the subjugation of some people and the domination of others, the so-called success of some and the failure of others. We hear sociologists talk about cultural commitments. In other words, those who are committed to a mainstream values and mainstream behavior as against those who belong to an ostensible culture of poverty, who have absorbed a different system of values. They offer us family backgrounds, offer us various types of child-rearing approaches that presumably do or do not prepare the individual to deal with the middle class, white society. Family backgrounds and approaches which do or do not provide the individual with the ability to solve his or her social problems. Educationists go deeply into the cognitive structures of the victims and indicate that the means by which they are deficient in academic or other abilities. Social psychologists offer us explanations in terms of interpersonal competence and behavior. The failure of communications occurred between family members and other people. We get a host of definitions and a host of explanations. However, we rarely, if ever, get an approach that looks at the political system and the political aims of the imperialistic European, what ways those aims contribute to the critical situation that we see ourselves in today. American social scientists, especially psychologists and sociologists, and the so-called helping professions come to the aid of European domination with what we call deficiency explanations. We note that in the study of the black child and in the study of black people within our universities, we get a bevy of deficiency terminologies or jargon, and we get long semesters of courses about the deviant behavior of black people. Courses that the white middle class child or the white middle class itself has as a measure for all other people. And those individuals and people who do not measure up to their standards are seen as deviant or deficient in one form or another. To that section. What y'all got on? If anybody want to call in to contribute to this particular discourse, you can call area code 323-80-5707. That was an awesome section where Dr. Wilson explains, gets into how the European makes up explanations to his benefit as to why we are suffering and failing to survive, really. And it makes like it basically it's your fault and you crazy and we the standard and you know you should be like us and since you're not like us, something wrong with you. that's pretty much the psych warfare game. They running on us up and down the court every day, and they got plenty of black folks that grant PhDs and master degrees too to repeat their bull crap. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know that's guys. Right up my alley right there. I worked as a behavioral specialist with people who were were mentally retarded for years. I did that, and that's actually what made me start to look at what they were doing to us back then. Because what happens, same thing you say, is they create this situation. A lot of these guys, you know, are sitting up in group homes. A lot of them black too, sitting up in group homes, just being medicated all day long. And every profession who contracts out for this entire field is just feeding off of these folks. The pharmaceutical folks, the doctors. There's doctors that have contracts. There's little programs where somebody has some sewing thing, and they constantly have a constant flow of people coming in that are supporting these people at all times. You have whole industries built off of that industry. And so what started to happen is I would write behavior plans. But what started to happen was I would always try to write behavior plans that didn't include some of these things. And they would quickly tell me, oh, no, there's a contract to do this.
Right.
You know, there's a contract to do that. Oh, you can't write behavior plans that take them off of their medication.
You can't take their job. You're taking food off the white man table.
Mm-hmm.
You are not Negro.
Yeah.
Granted the authority to disenfranchise and economically disadvantage a white man under the system of racism, white supremacy. No, you will not, buddy.
But what I started to see is you know, I had to lay the definition of mental retardation right next to me every time I wrote a service plan. And when I looked closely at it, it defined black people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The lack of cognitive skills, the lack of adaptive skills, low IQ. A lot of the definitions inside there, the gullibility, unwillingness to do things in your own best interest. All of these things describe what you see among black folks.
Matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up. We're going to take a break in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
On the Antoinette Harrell show, what's the name of her program, Jovette?
It's Nurturing Our Roots.
Our Roots. They discussed that last night. They had some PhD on, and they were discussing plantations, breeding farms where there was a lot of inbreeding,
mm-hmm.
and which contributes to, mother, son inbreeding, father, daughter, parents and grandparents, not only the our captive relatives on those plantations, but also inbreeding within the terrorist European households as well. I mean, the European were inbreeding with each other, and they were inbreeding with us with each other. What do you mean with us with each other? By the way, by means of a white European terrorist rapes a black African woman. They have a baby. They take that baby, and then they make that baby have sex, which is half European terrorist, half African, and inbreed that baby with the father of the European terrorist. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they inbreed with each other, force us inbreed with ourselves, and then they double inbreed between us and them. So we got a lot of multi-generational inbreeding going on. See, so some of our people will have some serious problems. They were talking about this last night on the program, about when they get into their family records and they start having some serious problems getting through the tree because they can't get through it. The records aren't available, and, you know, they basically, some of us reach dead ends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
those are crimes against humanity that are documented, but they're not in public databases. And they're like on special records and stuff. They were talking about this last night, special records and things that are not easy to get to. The access. A lot of people don't know about them. They're trying to publicize and popularize these kinds of records so that we can see, you know, the crimes, you know, the documentation of the crimes to the extent of the horror that has been practiced against us, and we can see why we are systemically retarded.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But we'll be right back. We're gonna take a break for a few messages. And we'll be back to continue Falsification of African Consciousness and win electric lecture on Eurocentric political dogmatism. And we'll be right back. Listen in to African Conversations on the African Knowledge Network, where we will converse with researchers about matters significant to the African diaspora community. Join us on Facebook on the African Conversations community page. Enjoy the dialogue on African Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.
According to Henry David Thoreau, a man is rich in proportion to the number of things that he can afford to let alone. With that in mind, we find our people locked in a permanent cycle of poverty, especially those who mistakenly believe that they somehow have arrived, only a paycheck from foreclosure. Although we find black incomes at an all-time high, we still lack wealth, and we also lack the understanding of the purpose of wealth, which is safety, growth, and security. But it's not hard to turn this around. It will first require us to take a look at the bigger picture, and also it will require us to stop flossing. We have to understand that that $10 that we waste every day equals $300 a month, the same $300 that you find yourself missing every month, the same $300 required for you to invest into your family, into your community, and into your nation. Please join us on Facebook, African Money.
Welcome to AfricanImpressions.com. African Impressions is a black-owned business that offers products made by the global African community. African Impressions offers the finest in African-made jewelry, craft, clothing, and so much more. As the renaissance of the African community rapidly approaches, you need to add acquiring products crafted by members of the global African family to your repertoire of activities. We must rediscover more of our ancient cultural habits, which we struggle to regain, and incorporate them into our daily lives. Support African craftsmen and women by shopping at AfricanImpressions.com today. Hope to see you there.
Join us for the sweetest show on internet radio, Honey Soul Radio, every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, and 10 p.m. Eastern. Join your hostess, the Honey Diva, and Miss Lady P. Every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, and 10 p.m. Eastern. Honey Soul Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Now add a little honey to your flavor.
The Woman's Song Community Experience is an extension of the Woman's Song Facebook community. Woman's Song was created with the mission to promote sisterhood and solidarity amongst women of color the world over. The Community Experience radio broadcast is an outreach effort to bring lecturers, authors, healers, spiritualists, and others with the necessary information to assist us in our campaign to repair ourselves. Our community is in dire need of reformation. During this Renaissance period of awareness, we will honor the womb man, and we seek to bridge the gap of understanding, love, and the upliftment of our sisters in crisis. Will you join us? We need your help in bringing this new awakening to all who desire its enlightenment. Become a part of our commitment to elevation as we work together to lift the divine earth to their rightful places. Woman Song, She's singing.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book appears every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a literary society dedicated to the study of African-based psychoanalytical texts. We hope you will join us as we delve into the inner working of our African consciousness. African Knowledge Beyond the Book, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, and we're back. In part two of these of the lecture series entitled European Political Dogmatism, for all of you new to this program, the book is titled The Falsification of African Conscience, subtitled Eurocentric History and the Psychiatry of Politics of White Supremacy. The title of this as a model of sanity. Most insane people on earth today are used as models for sanity. Of the racist European itself is not questioned. The sanity of the European normally is not questioned. The possibility that what we call normal is itself insane is not questioned. That the organization of the society, the nature of its human relations, structure of its economic systems, the values that motivate it, of the madness of a people. Have we ever taken time to step back and step out of our normal minds for a minute to look at the madness that exists around us? Have we ever stopped for a moment and noted the madness that motivates us to jam into these subways every morning, that motivates us to work endlessly and compulsively, that motivates us to feel guilty in a moment of leisure, motivates us to consume endlessly, make us victims of all kinds of erratic fashions? Have we seen the craziness that peers out at us from our television screens? Have we recognized that the television screens project little reality at all? That we measure ourselves against what we look at? Advertising is designed to keep us in a state of frustration and dissatisfaction, and designed to inculcate us in a sense of inferiority, and designed to keep us from facing reality and confronting the truth, to divert us from the pitifulness of our situation, not let us recognize as a people that we are in a precarious situation and that our very biological survival is in question. From the TV set and look at those little families whose members get through speaking before speaking themselves, who lay in just the right line at just the right time, and who resolve their problems so neatly and beautifully, and assume that they represent the typical family. We saw it like it is on TV. Families where people really go upside each other's heads, cut each other off. Reality was projected there rather than the pretense, the fantasies, and the fairy tales that are placed. Vision really exists. And are left with the inferiority complex asking, why can't our families get along like that? Each other like that? Be concerned with each other like that? We must look at the psychopathology of everyday life and must recognize we cannot have it both ways. We cannot talk about a people all manner of other things against us and then use them as models for normality. We cannot use these people who are criminals, who have the world on the edge of suicide, who are now getting ready to negotiate about how many bombs they're going to keep for destroying the earth, how they're going to distribute death to the rest of the world as models for normality. These people, the Khrushchevs, the Cherenkovs, the Brezhnevs, the killers of many hundreds of thousands of people, study them. Study the hierarchy of the Russian Empire that rules over Poland, Yugoslavia, and the nations of Eastern Europe. I don't give a hoot whether they are Marxists or Leninists or anything else, but I know that they are human beings, and we know the behavior that they have exhibited in the name of their political philosophy. We know that the imperialist Europeans stole nations and destroyed hundreds of thousands of Amerindians, Africans, and other peoples, and whose every step in other people's nations has done little but destroy the local people, driven them out of their minds, destroy their cultures, and rob them of their wealth. And yet these people are held up as normal and are used as a the standard against which we measure ourselves as a people, and are used as models for us to determine the way we wish our children to behave. That's the end of that section. That's right. We got to get over collectively on any amount of critical mass of Africans in diaspora, with us, have to realize that we cannot look at the European dynamics of model for us to copy, and we have to get back to our old pre-captive. Having to study our own history, learn how we relate to one another, and start to revive that. We can't look at, we should not, European as a something to pattern ourselves, to copy us, to copy and adopt for ourselves. So they are sick society, and we should not want any of that incorporated into ourselves in any form. Does anybody else have anything to say about that? On to the next section.
That's what I was getting into before. Is that I worked with a lot of people in the mental health field, and I often sat in meetings where there's a theory called normalization, where you're trying to bring people with mental health problems back into normalization. And I would often look around the room when we had meetings, and I know this person over here has this problem, this one over here has some little weird problem over there, and I'm thinking to myself, you're judging how normal somebody else is, and nobody in this room could be described as normal. This person's crying because they have an issue, sitting in their car doing, this person's an alcoholic. And they all had problems themselves, but you're defining things that's normal for somebody else. That's the situation black folks are in, you're trying to adjust yourself to become like people who really aren't normal, and to ideologies that don't make any sense, and that could actually drive you crazy by sitting there trying to adjust yourself. Somebody who's not normal to begin with. They put themselves out as a model for everybody else, and these people are practically murderers. That have destroyed the planet and is doing more damage every day, and we're trying to model ourselves after them. That's craziness.
I have one disagreement with you.
Mm-hmm.
That they're practically.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah, I misspoke.
That's all. I agree with everything else.
I meant literally. Not practically. Not almost.
I thought you was trying to go easy on them, man. No, man.
It's their hobby.
They kill for fun. Yeah. Yes, they are.
I asked that when I was in the military. They we sing our little songs while we're marching and stuff. And we had this one with "Kill a Commie for Mommy." And so I was young. I was a kid when I went in. And so I'm asking, well, what is a communist? Oh, what difference does it make? And I'm like, hold on a second. This guy has a different political system for whatever reason. I have no idea. But I'm supposed to kill him because he disagrees with you? And why am I modeling myself after people who think this way? That's
right.
Crazy.
Yep.
I've killed millions of people at that. I mean, you take wars like Vietnam or even this Iraq thing, you're just slaughtering millions of people. Because of different ideologies, well, it all comes back to the dollar bill anyway. But that's craziness. That's somebody. You might as well be a gang member.
They are a gang member.
Yeah.
The gang colors is white.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The dollar bill, was it a symbol? Symbol of white economic wealth and power. Mm-hmm. So say, are they doing it just for the money? As to downgrade ain't like it's not so heinous. When you hear people say this, like, oh, they're just doing it for money. It's all just about money. No, the money is the representation of the economic power.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot to do something for the money.
Yeah.
Money that they create.
Yeah.
They create it. They distribute it. Matter of fact, they don't distribute it. They enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Use our currency or else. I mean, our people can't wrap their mind around how serious it is to doing something for the dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, Mr. Tully, no slack on doing something for money.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can see how we accepted it in our language. You have drug dealers. You have people killing people, and they say, "Well, you know, it's all about the money." Now we've gotten that disease too.
See.
Where that's okay, because you know you got to make a living.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some things aren't done to make a living; they're done to make a dying.
Uh huh.
Go to work every day. It's the most humiliating experience of your existence, and it is literally killing you and your family. They have no plan on breaking that cycle. Going to work for Mr. Charlie, that is. They believe they're trapped, and they probably are, if they fully invested their life in this system of white supremacist economic slave-slavery relationship. Damn, it is impossible for them to get out of that.
Oh, yeah.
You got to want to, and it would take some time to start orchestrating and orientating their participation in that economic cycle. That's a process they had to work that out, though. But yeah, we'll go on to page 72. This is gonna be the last section we read, then we'll end it for the night. It's page 72, history, psychology, and ideology. If we look at imperialists, we see their psychology. As I've said on numerous occasions, psychology of the rulers of this world, the psychology of Eurocentrically oriented people, is not in the psychology books, but in the history books. One merely needs then to read their history to get at their psychology. And that history, of course, is not written by me, not written by black scholars, not written by us nationalists. It's written, of course, by the imperialists themselves, and therefore is a form of self-indictment, and it is there for all to see. It is an admission in and of itself of the insane nature of the people who are in control of the world today. We must then recognize that given this history and the desire of the hegemonic European to maintain the status quo, colleges and other institutions created by them are created and maintained as a means of supporting the status quo itself. If we look at European imperialistic history and find that history embarrassing and hurtful, then we are compelled to look at the ideologies that have flowed from that history. Not look and shake our heads in sadness at the enslavement of our people, the death and killing of the Amerindians, and the creation of the Holocaustic weapons. Wars that have been perpetrated by an imperialistic people, nation off from the ideologies of those people. They are one and the same, and are part and parcel of the same reality. It is this attempt on our part, and this attempt by the system to segment and cut off these things, one from the other, to compartmentalize life, compartmentalized reality, and to a great extent the basis our mental, physical, and other kinds of problems that are existent in our community today. This system is one then on the one hand teases and provokes, and on the other hand denies. Its individualistic sensibility encourages us to dream big dreams. Everything is within our grasp. Reach. It denies the possibilities for those dreams to become reality. it tells our young teenagers that if they do not wear the right kind of sneakers and the right kind of eyeglass frames on their faces, that they are nothing. Along the lines of the society dictates, worthless, and at the same time denies them the opportunity and the structure, the means by which the achievements can be attained. And therefore, as we as adults are caught in a major contradiction, in a major dilemma, we are told that it is the result of some deficiency in our personality, genetic problem, subcultural problem. Theology, of course, theology that rationalizes the status quo, responsibility from the social structures developed by Europeans and removes the responsibilities from that structure for bringing about the conditions inherent in the community and in individuals. It is also designed to drive us insane. So this ideology is not merely a means of rationalizing the status quo, but it is also a means of creating an abnormal state of mind. Because when the individual is provoked to strive and then has his legs broken at the same time and is told that it is his fault, individual self-respect is threatened. Individual's identity is destroyed. The individual's self-concept and self-esteem are washed out. Once the victim accepts the ideology of individualism, set to blame himself every sort of way, to begin to question his or her competence, doubt his or her ability, doubt his or her worth, and ultimately to hate himself. But self-hatred is not only an individual reaction, it becomes part of a social system. Who hates himself, hates other people, and him of himself. And therefore, when he looks out at his sisters and brothers, he also looks at himself, questions the adequacy and competence of himself, adequacy and competence of his sisters and brothers. And the experience of failure and the experience of not achieving in society not only becomes an individual experience, it becomes a social experience and a social disease. Therefore, the philosophy and the ideology of individualism is not an ideology that attacks the individual. It is an ideology that attacks the whole community. It is part of a community ideology designed to maintain dominance of one community over another, to maintain the dominance of the Eurocentric community over the African community. Individual who accepts the ideology of individualism and sees the failure to achieve as a result of some deficiency personality and thinks that opportunities exist and that if he merely right personality could make the best of these opportunities, the achievement does not occur, is faced with a major contradiction. He is faced with what we call a sense of cognitive dissonance, that certain things do not jive. Dissonance, contradictions, and conflicts are painful and hard to bear. It makes life discomforting and hence motivates the individual to seek to resolve the contradictions and to put them out of existence. That was a joint there.
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter with, I don't know if y'all remember this. Somebody on the line, on the phone line, they can press one. They remember this. We were in a discussion somewhere, and some person told, it was talking about jobs in the military, and the guy told them, you didn't pick the right job in the military.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, see, that's a prime example right there. That's it. I mean, when that guy said that, I already knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was blaming you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go into computer science or whatever, something happened to me, you say, oh, well, you just didn't pick me. You picked the wrong prize. You'd have picked the one I picked. You'd have made it. It's all your fault. You're a loser.
You
white supremacy is always right.
White.
I mean, they just reflexively come out with this. I mean, this is so deeply a part of their subconscious, they can't help themselves. They just got to do
it. As you were talking, I had a thought running through my mind. When I was a kid, we had two pairs of jeans. The commercial came on like round the clock all the time. DoorDash and Sergio Valente.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid that I was just bombarded by this all the time, at all times, all day long when the TV's on. And I didn't have money. We were poor. And so I went out and I robbed somebody. And I ran downtown and got me a pair of damn Sergio Valente or Jordache jeans. And when I put them on, I was a big fat black kid with shirts trying to squeeze into these Sergio. I wasn't the Greek guy on the thing riding in an expensive motor car.
Yeah.
When I put the jeans on. And what does it do? It's pretty much what Amos is talking about is these desires that are put in front of us at all times, and we're reaching to grab some persona that's unattainable and ridiculous at the same time. But it causes it's a scourge on the whole community. It turns you into a monster.
Right.
You run around and do things for that. And every time I put those jeans on, I thought about robbing somebody to get those jeans and felt like an idiot, you know. And this is what people do all the time, you know. This is a cycle that our folks are trapped in. Somebody else dictating a desire, a persona, the normal model for you to follow, and your whole life is spent trying to attain that model.
Right, trying to write conform, because I'm still in chapter with that book Socialization of the Black Child in Developmental Psychology of the Black Child by Dr. Wilson, and all that he just named in that section, he went into in great detail in this chapter, which he published in 1978.
Yeah,
and I'm like I'm gonna read some of this, and I thought about you got to do that whole chapter book club, because. I mean, all that, you know, if you'd read this book, as a black child, and he's recounting it in Falsification of African Consciousness, you know, he realizes just how deep they plan, they socialize us, they program us, they constantly brainwashing us. We don't realize all the time why he mentioned television programs and commercials, you know, and the commercials that whet the appetite, like you said. You saw the commercial, they telling you, you know, they always telling you that you're black, you're inferior, you're not good enough. You get these genes, you're going to be just one step closer to being good enough. You know, you sell out just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sell out your soul. Sell your soul to the devil, basically.
Yeah.
And with the price of your life, when you're talking about soul, your essence, all of yourself, all your being, your history, your past, present, your future, all of you, everything that you are, sell that. And take on me, the European. That's really the whole commercial. That's the commercial for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But at Mercedes Benz, at Jaguar, at that sandwich at Burger King, everything. Eat our food. Fuck our women. You know what I'm saying? Drive our cars. Whatever. Let Buffy hook you up. You know what I'm saying? And Jay at least. You know what I'm saying? Get on in here, the black women, leave her with the baby, don't take care of your black child, abandon all that, come, you know, be a soldier, go overseas, kill off all other people in the world that may be trying to take care of themselves or something, that's got half a brain, more sense than you, dumb Negro.
Be all you can be.
All you can be. Sell out some more. You can always sell out a little more, you know. Have you really sold all of yourself to white supremacy? Really? Ask yourself that question. You probably got a little bit more to sell. You just look deep enough in yourself, you probably got some kind of vestiges of black self-positivity in there that you can root out.
And the worst part of it is folks who supposed to understand, and they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the worst part. You know, we see that every day on Facebook. They're doing the same thing as the people they criticize. Go look in there. Go look in your parking lot. You know.
I mean,
just recently I saw this thing about them killing a black population off in Indonesia. Indonesia sells more clothes in this country than most places. There's factories all over, and black people walking all around with made in Indonesia in the tag of their clothes. But then they sit and say, "Oh, this is horrible! What's happening to the black people in Indonesia?" Check the tag in your shirt.
Hey, sir. Basically, you're saying you got the power to do something about it, black man. We're just letting you know on this program that there is a legitimate, it is a constructive, concerted attack on you in every way imaginable and unimaginable to you. And we're just making you aware of it. So just because your ass can't fathom it, that don't mean it don't exist. So we helping everybody to fathom that. We're going to help you fathom it. Keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to fathom it. And then, after you've learned to wrap your mind around this, you know, then you got, I want to hope you start feel guilty.
You should.
You should, a little bit. I mean, everybody. Hey, even me. When I find myself, you know, being affected, I'm like, I got to feel that guilt will help you. And that guilt will help you stop. So we won't. Danny just told me that we're going to show. That's what this is. I got to be damned. They done got my ass again. You need to feel like they done got your ass again. Because if you don't feel they got you again, that means you're going to keep doing it. You're going to stop. It may take you a few years. Doesn't matter. At least you're going to struggle. At least can we struggle with this? We got to at least have some kind of internal struggles to break these habit patterns and thought patterns. And then you start in discouraging your children from developing these habits. Even if it's hopeless for you, you can at least save your children.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't going to beat nobody up. Like, I understand, you know, you caught up in the game. And they might decide I'm going to save the next generation.
Yeah.
You know? Do something. Everybody can do a little something. Everybody can do something. So. Hope for you. No matter how small it is, I got some hope for you. Right?
Stop flossing.
Black. Get blacker. You can't get too black. And when everybody telling you that you're too black, almost there. Almost there. But you will never have a ride. And that's what you need to know. You ain't never made it until all this is over. Hey. Okay, that's a wrap. Next week, we'll continue in this part two of this lecture titled Eurocentric Political Dogmatism, and we'll begin the section on Coping with Contradictions, page 74.
All right. You can catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/ African, I'm sorry, AK Beyond the Book.
There you go.
All right. Next week.
See ya.
Same time, same bad channel. Peace.
Peace. Shalom.
Shalom.
Now if you don't see